Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Football League edition of the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Johnny Burrow, and we're going in-depth on the Championship this evening. And of course, here on Love Sport Radio, as ever, it is your London teams first. Let's start with Brentford. Neil Maupay to Sevilla is a gloriously football manager style rumour. The French striker scoring goals in the Championship linked with a rather cosmopolitan move to La Liga. That would be frightening enough for Brentford, but they've got some rather more concrete news today, which for me, even as a sort of partial Brentford fan from presenting the Brentford Fan Show, is just infuriating. Yoann Barbe, who's absolutely fantastic in the heart of defence for the Bees this season, after the expiry of his contract and repeatedly refusing contract offers with Brentford, has signed for their, arguably their biggest rivals, Queen's Park Rangers. Now, it's not just the betrayal, and it is a betrayal, of going to QPR. It's the fact that, what do QPR offer him? I really don't understand. They're a fantastic, historic club. But look at where QPR are at the moment. They're looking at cutting their wage bill. They're a club in serious financial trouble. They're going to have to be dealing with free agents, with the loan market basically only this summer. And yeah, the appeal of a manager like Warburton is big. But if you're a Brentford fan, just so frustrating. And the frustration could be set not to end there, because we're hearing links with some of their players with former boss Dean Smith as well. Smith, of course, now is in charge at Premier League Aston Villa, having got them promoted through the Championship playoffs. And we're hearing that he's in for not one, but two of his previous players. So the Express and Star reporting that he is in for Syed Benrahma for £20 million, the fantastic Algerian winger, but that he's also in for Neil Maupay, and that both of those deals could take a combined two players plus cash deal. So the suggestion of this deal, and stay with me because it's remarkably complicated, the suggestion is this is going to be £30 million from Aston Villa to Brentford. We can handle that. Plus Scott Hogan, the former Brentford striker, currently out of favour at Aston Villa, going back to Griffin Park. So £30 million plus Hogan in exchange for Syed Benrahma and Neil Maupay. Financially speaking, not necessarily a terrible piece of business for Brentford. £30 million quid straight up is a lot of money. If you factor in the fact that Scott Hogan does know how to score goals at Championship level, and that when they sold him to Villa, he cost about £15 million. You could reasonably value this deal at £45 million. In the stakes of fairness, in the stakes of potentially allowing Brentford to rebuild, no complaints. But do we believe this rumour? Because obviously the point of this show is to cut through the noise. And in a sense, I do believe it. Because Dean Smith is a guy who wants to work with players he can trust. He wants to work with players he knows. He's interested in a lot of that Brentford squad. I believe that part. But the complexity of a deal like this is such that could it ever really get across the line? Let's think about all of the different factors that need to line up for this to work. So firstly, Benrahma has got to be happy to go to Aston Villa for one thing, but possibly to choose Aston Villa over Sevilla, which seems like a slightly odd decision. Okay, fine. Maybe he would choose Aston Villa. Then, even if he's happy going to Aston Villa, they've got to meet his wage demands. They've got to pay whatever his agent is demanding and so on. So you've got the normal difficulty of a contract negotiation combined with a player competing with different clubs for the signature, combined with the player possibly not wanting to go at all. And that's one of three people involved. Then, even if we tick all of those finicky little boxes with more pay, Benrahma has got to be happy to go to Villa. He's got to be happy to go there rather than anywhere else. They've got to sort his contract out. Brentford, by the way, have got to consent to all of this. They've got to accept the transfer offer. So we're now, even if we assume that Brentford are willing to sell two of their very best players to their former manager for, what, 45-odd million quid, and those players can sign the deal, even if we get all of that across the line, we've then got a deal with Aston Villa coughing up. Fine, that probably won't be a problem. We're hearing that they're going to be pretty active in the transfer market. But crucially, Scott Hogan, who has just been told he's a Premier League player and will be, I'm sure, as an ambitious guy, thinking about the way he can break into that Dean Smith side, despite the arrival of Wesley Moraes, he's got to accept going straight back down to the Championship, straight back where he came from Brentford, where he may not feel massively popular anymore, and accept a cut to his wages. It would have to be a cut to his wages. Why do you think he went to Villa in the first place? When players leave Brentford, because of the relative financial resources, they get a pay rise. So we're in this situation where if you're asking me to believe this transfer rumour, you're asking me to accept not just that Brentford are going to sell their two best players, not just that their two best players are both happy to go to Aston Villa rather than somewhere in Europe, not just that they're going to accept contract terms, but that an Aston Villa player, formerly of Brentford, is going to go back in the other direction as well. You know what? Maybe it's all true. Maybe it is. But I'm willing to bet that the complexity of a deal such as that is that it's just not going to happen. In that structure, it won't happen. I'm not for a second saying that Dean Smith isn't going to raid Brentford, by the way, but there are more straightforward ways of getting those deals over the line. We'll be talking Brentford very, very shortly. Also on the show, we're talking Leeds, because young winger Jack Clark could be off to Spurs. We heard earlier this week that this deal was basically done. Football.London today are reporting that they understand the deal isn't actually at an advanced stage at all. Rumours are Spurs bid $10 million for the kid in January, turned down. They then bid $12 million. We're now hearing that £20 million could be the fee. We're going to be talking to Thomas Bradley of I'd Rather Be Leeds in just a moment to find out how good this kid is. But 20 million. 20 million. Are we at a point now? He scored two goals in the Championship. Are we at a point where if you're reasonably good at football, you're English, and you count as homegrown, and you've nominally got potential, that 20 million English pounds is the baseline? We start from there and we negotiate upwards. That's where we're coming from. It's madness. Jack Clark, I'm sure he's a talented player, but if we look at other really, really rated English talents in recent years, Theo Walcott, he wasn't 20 million quid. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he wasn't 20 million quid. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is going to cost 60, but he's played Premier League football. We're in a situation now where Premier League clubs are spending tens of millions on children with less than a full year of Championship football under their belt. The world is going absolutely mad, but I'm hoping, I'm about to be told I'm talking nonsense, and that the, oh, I do apologise, and that the kid is going to excel. In just a moment, we'll be talking to Thomas Bradley of I'd Rather Be Leeds.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Football League edition of the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Thomas Bradley of I'd Rather Be Leeds. Good evening, Thomas. Thank you for joining me. We're talking Jack Clark this evening. Educate me. Is he any good?
He's a very good winger, yeah. Very attack-minded, likes to take a player on. Very, I would say, still raw, but very enthusiastic and probably a good move for Spurs if it happens, if they can nurture him properly over the next few years. I think he's still got a lot to learn, but he, at times last season, he was very excited and managed to change some games when he came on for Leeds. So I think if it happens, it's a shame for us, but I think if you're a Spurs fan, it's a positive. And I would guess they would hope that it turns out similar to how Dele Alli has turned out in terms of buying him from a low-league team and then becoming a star.
Dele Alli, when they got him, cost 5 million quid, right? Yep. And for 5 million quid, I'm happy for you to take a punt, frankly. But 20 million, you're dealing with big money. Let's bear in mind that Spurs haven't made a signing for the last couple of windows. They don't do it for no reason. Pochettino has clearly seen something. Is Jack Clark worth £20 million?
I think in the here and now, no. That's coming from a Leeds fan who's seen him and knows there's areas for improvement. But that's mainly because of his age. And you're kind of going into the unknown, I guess, because the Championship to the Premier League is a step up, no matter how much potential you've got. And it could backfire for Spurs, £20 million. It's still a lot of money, regardless of how big your club is. And he's only an 18, 19-year-old kid, so... Would it be a punch? Probably, yeah. But I think if you consider who is A, going to be buying him, Pochettino, and B, the close ties that he has with BL, so I'm sure they've probably discussed Clark at length anyway. So will they pay 20 million? That's another question. I think it may be a bit short of that, and maybe will include add-ons over sort of straight up fee. But like you said, it is quite a lot of money to plunge on a young lad who's played a handful of games in the Championship.
What would you value him at?
To be honest, I would 10 to 12 million, I would say.
And rumours are you've already rejected a bid to that kind of value. So
yeah.
Are you expecting, what, at least 15?
Yeah, I think so. I think the club would be foolish to say, OK, then we'll accept 10 to 12 anyway. I think in the way the market ends up going during transfer windows, it can get silly, can't it? There's no reason why Leeds shouldn't get involved in that and try and, I guess, bleed as much as they can from a Premier League team who have obviously got a lot of resource in terms of spending, but don't seem to spend it.
How good do you think Jack Clarke can become?
I reckon he could become a top player in the Premier League. I reckon if you were to compare him in terms of where he could end up, I would, similar to Rose, who came from Leeds as well, very solid.
At the level of Danny Rose, so we're talking top-end Premier League player, England international.
Definitely.
Well, if that's the case, then 20 million, I'm eating my words, aren't I? Because bargain.
Well, from that respect, yeah, but you see so many young lads who get the opportunity of Premier League very early on and sometimes don't take it, but... Hmm. He seems like a fairly mature player for his age. He did sort of tail off towards the end of last season, but that coincided with what appeared to be a nasty virus that he picked up against us, where I think he actually collapsed on the subs bench and was out for a while. So I'm hoping that isn't a long-standing thing for him, and that whoever he plays for next season, he'll recapture that confidence that saw him absolutely burst onto the scene.
How likely do you think this move is to happen?
Very likely, I would say. I would say if you look at if you take a step back and look at what happened at Leeds last season, we saw Ronaldo Vieira, who was in a very similar position to what Clark is in now. A young player with fairly mature shoulders, huge potential. And we sold him to Sampdoria for me to help raise funds to bring in other players like Bamford and etc. And I think Leeds will... I think Radrizzani will take the same approach, and I think there'll be one sacrifice, and I think it'll be Clark.
Well, let's talk about Leeds' other potential signings, because you're being linked with quite a few free agents in the press today. We're hearing about Ander Iturraspe, the former Athletic Bilbao midfielder, also got Spain caps on a free. That's being reported in AS. Have you heard anything about that?
Not really. The main one I've heard about is Helder Costa, but the link between him and the player you just mentioned, I guess, is, I would say, an obvious link due to his links with Bielsa. And I would welcome something like that, an experienced player with, obviously, a lot of experience, a good CV, and somebody who could be... we've got quite a young team, so it would be good to get somebody with a bit more experience in the side. So I would welcome any sort of transfer like that.
How much of an advantage is it for you as a football club that your manager is viewed as a real great in the Spanish-speaking world?
Absolutely. Oh, it's absolutely huge. I mean, I briefly mentioned there, but Helder Costa, who is hopefully on his way to Leeds United from Wolves on loan after being sort of not put into the shadows last season, but didn't play
not,
as many
not
games
playing the role
to.
And having played a massive part in their promotion.
Yeah, and I think without Bielsa, and it's no disrespect to the likes of Heckingbottom and others who've come before him, but there's a magnetic pull with Bielsa. I think players want to play for him, and I think any player who who's looking for a new adventure, hopefully sees Leeds and sees how they played last season and thinks, I would love to be part of that, because hopefully, again, we'll be up there this season. And why would you want to turn down a manager who's held in high regard by the likes of Guardiola and Pochettino? So it's such a massive pull, and people say, well, why do we spend so much money on Bielsa, not players? And that's half the reason, because he can attract better players who otherwise maybe would not join the club.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point. Not the only free agent you're being linked with. There's also talk of former Newcastle and Hull midfielder Mo Diame. Do you like the look of him?
I think that would be a solid addition, considering it would be a free transfer.
Big wages, though.
Big wages, yeah. But experience-wise, on promotion with Hull, as per for Newcastle, when they were Championship, they always bossed it and have done all right in the Premier League as well. So I don't think it would be sniffed at, but it would come down to wages, because as much as we're Leeds United, we don't have an endless stream of money like some fans sometimes think we might. So whether that's a top target or not, it remains to be seen. But we have the likes of Phillips in midfield as well, so it would be good to get reinforcement. I think the playoff and the way the season ended, it was probably proof that reinforcements were needed due to the amount of injuries, and those reinforcements need to be of a high calibre.
One name that won't go away for Leeds is Liverpool's Ryan Kent, who of course was on loan at Rangers this season.
Yep.
Important to note that Leeds are by no means the only team being linked with a move for his signature. How likely is that to happen? Because the Yorkshire Evening Post won't shut up about him, frankly.
I think it's interesting, because I think players like Kent and a bit like Wilson, who was at Derby.
Fantastic player.
Yeah, fantastic players. And I think they both, I would guess, at their point in their career now, although they're both sort of fairly young, they're probably thinking, well, I either want to have a crack at it with Liverpool or I want to go out permanently, because I'm assuming there comes a point where a loan becomes one too many for them. And Ryan Kent has been at Rangers, been at Bristol City, been elsewhere. And whilst I think it would be a very good loan signing, the thing that makes you think it might not happen is because these players may want a permanent transfer. And I don't think, from what I've seen, our strategy this season will be more focused on quality loans from the Premier League rather than permanent additions. So that would be my only stumbling block. But hopefully if Kent is up for another loan deal and doesn't get prized back by Rangers, then it would be a very good addition, because Bielsa is very adamant that he wants more wingers and he wants more winging options.
Yeah, and the loan market sounds like a very, very sensible approach to me.
Yeah.
Thomas, it's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
Thomas Bradley there of I'd Rather Be Leeds. And it is England 1, France 0. How good does that sound? A fantastic goal from Phil Foden. I would say remember the name, but you already know it. He danced through what felt like the entirety of the French defence before slotting into the bottom corner, and it's never straightforward. As an England fan, it's never straightforward. I'm here celebrating. Oh, 1-0 England. Phil Foden's great. He's coming home. Choudhury sent off. England down to 10 men. Cheers, lads.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow. It wasn't just a red card for Choudhury. It's a penalty for France as well. Their second of the evening. Henderson has already saved one. Can he save another? They've only gone and missed it. What is it with... Oh, hang on. Something's kicking off here. The referee, is he ordering another penalty? What is it with French people and hitting the post from the penalty spot this week and then getting another go? It hits the inside of the post, bounces clear, and are we now looking at a retake? Are we looking at another VAR decision for handball from the rebound on that penalty? This is absolutely bizarre. Henderson, the poor bloke, looks confused. It's not another penalty. Okay, we're in the clear. It's England 1, France 0. They've missed the penalty. It's coming home. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Dave Lane of Besotted and the Brentford Fan Show. Good evening, Dave. I apologise for my overexcitement there. You mustn't be excited. You must be a bit annoyed at this breaking news about Barbe.
Not really. I would say a little bit, yeah, a bit surprised that he's gone to QPR, if I'm honest with you. But You know, I know it happens. QPR seem to love an out-of-contract Brentford left-back. And, you know, there's a few QPR on Twitter that are kind of trying to paint the picture that he's actually chosen to leave Brentford to go to QPR, which like is just like a million miles away from the truth. The fact, you know, the fact is, and you know, we spoke about it at length on the last Besotted podcast of the season, and on the Besotted radio show on Love Sport, is that Barbe was a really good player for us, and you know, he really did wear his heart on his sleeve, and he's got a great left foot, and there's a lot to admire about Johan Barbe. But we assumed that he wanted to go back to France, and he was out of contract, and you know, we didn't really try and keep him that sort of desperately.
But if you're not going to France, Dave, why go to QPR rather than Brentford? I genuinely don't get it.
Well, it would appear there were at the time when there was, you know, when it was clear that his contract wasn't going to be renewed and he was going to let it go, and what we used to call a Bosman, you know, Aston Villa weren't guaranteed of going up, so he had an iron in a fire with Dean Smith, because if they hadn't have got to the Prem, then Dean Smith was looking at a promotion. Promotion campaign to get out of Championship next season. So Aston Villa was an option for him. I know Besiktas were in for him, or looking into him. And there was a you know, a French first division team looking at him as well. And it would appear that none of those options have come off. So, you know, QPR and Mark Warburton obviously has a Brentford connection. You know, anyone that knows anything about our recent history. So obviously Mark Warburton must have that 3 or 5 year old list of Brentford, you know, the Brentford buy list on his mobile phone still. So, you know, I'm not going to knock Barbe. It's a shame he's gone to QPR, because this isn't a swipe at QPR. You know, I actually thought he could do better. And you know, obviously he's got to the stage now where he just wants, you know, good money. QPR have not had to pay a transfer fee for him. So what they've saved in what, you know, he probably was worth between £3 and £5 million, I would have thought, in this transfer market. He's a good player. They've given him in wages. So, you know, it works for both of them. But I just thought that Barbe was going to, you know, go to a team that could help him progress his career. And all due respect, you know, QPR aren't on that trajectory at the moment.
So, no, they're not. You know, yeah. How frustrating is it from your point of view to miss out on that potential 3 to 5 million?
As a fan, it's not my money, is it? But you know, it's slightly annoying, but that's the way it goes. You know, you could argue the fact that, you know, it is our fault for not you know, trying harder. If we thought we could get that for him last summer. But you know, decisions were obviously made. He's a good player, but he certainly wasn't the best defender at Brentford Football Club, and it really was his attitude that we loved, rather than his defending ability that we loved. And he wasn't a great centre back, and he wasn't a brilliant left back, but he was versatile and he gave his all. So if you want a slightly utility player that is, you know, is gives you 100%, great. But, you know, we've got like Ezri Konta that's playing, he's on the bench tonight for the England under 21s. That's where we're going. We've just bought a player from Fiorentina. You know, we have the vision to think one step ahead. And I think probably a decision was made on Barbe last year that, you know, if he stays, he stays. If he leaves, he leaves. And it's a shame. But, you know, he wasn't one to take us to the Premier League. Let's put it that way. So, you know, that's the way we're going. And it might sound flippant, and there might be QPR fans going, oh, you know, he's giving it the big one. But that's the way it is at the moment. You know, we are always planning to improve on what we've got. And Barbe, he was out of the team because he cost us goals last season at one stage. It was the change in formation that you know, that helped him. He was being judged less on his defensive ability and rather on his, more on his ball playing distribution. It will be interesting to see how Mark Warburton uses him. Let's be honest, you know, he's got a big reinvention job at Queen's Park Rangers. And if I was a QPR fan, I'd be slightly excited at the fact that at least you're going to get decent football next year.
Yeah, but well, financial
difficulties. He'll try and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But you know. But as we know, Mark Warburton's only got one way of playing. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully, plan A. Hopefully it works for them. Let's touch on some current. Well,
hopefully it doesn't. I know. Hopefully it fails miserably.
Neil Morpay. We were expecting him to be linked with clubs this summer. I, for one, wasn't expecting him to be linked with Sevilla. But these rumours are actually coming from quite reputable places.
Yeah, they are. You know, we're all used to, in this day and age, these clickbait websites that will run any sort of tentative or any sort of, you know, really, really tenuous link between a player and a club. But there seems to be a little bit of legs in this. I mean, I think Sevilla are interested, and of course, Neil Morpay would be interested because, you know, they're playing a very high standard in the top league in Spain. They've got European football to look forward to. So, yeah, it'd be a fool not to be taking that one seriously. The things that are kind of reassuring us as Bees fans is that Sevilla haven't got a track record of spending massively. I think their transfer record's 18 million. Brentford would have to give 25% of any transfers that we get to Nice. So it's unlikely that stacks up for us, you know.
Yeah.
We've got to replace him.
Yeah. Is there anyone you're looking at, Dave?
Well, not that I'm privy to. Let's be honest. There'll be more information next week. But I got a feeling we're going to get one more transfer window out of Neil Morpay. He's obviously going to be pushed hard by his agent at the moment, and Sevilla is going to be obviously tempting to him. But Brentford, our prices. I would say we wouldn't be looking to clear 20 million on a player like him at the moment. So we'd be looking to get 25 million. If we're going to have to give five of that away to, you know, the club before, and we've got to replace him. So that's not going to come cheap. And, you know, last season at Griffin Park, we were going to want to replace him with someone with a bit of a proven track record. And then, you know, that threatens to break our wage structure, and obviously it will obliterate our previous transfer record. So I'm not quite sure that it's time yet. We're looking for 25 million, and there's probably more chance of him going to a Premiership club for that kind of money. There's obviously talk about Burnley. Sean Dyche is sniffing around again. We've got a bit of a track record again with our players going to Burnley with Andre Gray and James Tarkowski. That's probably more likely. They know what they're going to get, and Burnley would know that they could then sell him on as well. So he's also a style of play. You know, Neil Morpay took a whole season to get used to our passages of play and it's a massive step up for him. So, you know, if I was him, I'd be really excited. But as a Brentford fan, you know, it's going to be sort of edgy times for the next few weeks, I think.
Absolutely. Out of 10, how likely do you think Morpay is to go?
He's got to be 7 or 8 to go. Because he's a valuable commodity. You know, he's scored a lot of goals in a very good league, and some of the goals he scored were out of the top draw. So he's a tenacious. He's a fighter. He's a street fighter. He'll give you his all as well. So we've really, really sort of found a diamond again there. So yeah, I'm not confident he'll start the season, but you know, I think as a player, and for the right move, and for the we're not forced to sell him. Let's put it that way.
No.
He's got, you know, 2 or 3 years left on his contract. He's not going to be running out at the end of next season.
It's got to be for the right money.
It's got honestly, yeah. I mean, we're not in a position where we're going to sell just for selling sake anymore. So that's something at least we can be reassured by. If he does go, he's going to go for big money.
One of the more bizarre, or not bizarre, but far-fetched rumours today is in the Express and Star. It links Villa with both Morpay and Benrahma, of course, reuniting with Dean Smith, saying £30 million plus Scott Hogan for the pair of them, which sounds very, very complicated, but... just a simple question for you.
We're holding out for just the 30 million.
Would you not have Scott Hogan back?
No, of course he would. Well, no, we wouldn't. I personally don't think he's ever wise to go backwards. We locked out, you know, we maxed out on him. And his wages now are just going to be ridiculous. So he wouldn't want to come back to Brentford, you know, because he would have to come back and be earning sort of 10 grand a week. He's on sort of 50, 60 grand a week at Villa. Why would he want to come back? You know, he's made for life already. He doesn't need to come back and to reinvent himself. He's a multi-millionaire already. You know, he's on easy street now. And let's be honest with you, that's the way, you know, the mindset of these players works. And that's the reason why Brentford is always going to do well at the moment, is because we don't, although we hold out for big money for our players, we're not obnoxious. We don't stand in their way, and it has to work for us too. But Benrahma comes in, you know, within a season, he's been touted as a, you know, 20-30 million pound player. So as a springboard for any talent anywhere in Europe,
yeah, very exciting.
You know, you'll play the best football that you'll ever play, and you'll be played in the first team, and you'll go for a huge amount of money, and everyone's a winner. And at some stage, Brentford fans will get tired of this, and we have to keep a team if we're going to go up. But you know, we need to be realistic. You know, it might be boring to say it, but we start with 15, 16, 20 million pounds. Black hole in our budget because of our crowds at the moment. So, you know, we do have to sell to survive. And, you know, we're playing the most amazing football in the second tier of English football. So, you know, it is exciting times still.
Well, Dave, hopefully you hang on to some of those players, and it is exciting times indeed. Thanks for your time. Lovely to chat to you. Dave Lane there of Besotted and the Brentford Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We talked about madness there. We talked about things that are hard to believe. Well, coming up, it's time to talk about Roland de Châtelet.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and it has been a frankly insane week at Charlton Athletic. Only yesterday we were hearing that Lee Bowyer was on his way out of the club, that Charlton had been unable to agree terms on a new deal for their gaffer. Today, he's agreed a one-year contract extension. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Paul Sullivan of the SE7 pod and the Charlton Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. Good evening, Paul. What on earth is going on?
Good evening, Johnny. What an unbelievable 24 hours. You thought I was grumpy on the show last Thursday. Yeah, you should have seen me last night. I was absolutely raging when the news came through. So much so that I had to go and put some fuel in my car. And because I had all this Roland nonsense on my mind, I was putting the most expensive stuff in, you know, the super.
Oh, no.
It was disastrous. So I was cursing Roland as I came off the forecourt of the petrol station. It was just incredible. And obviously, looking at the statement last night, you know, he was saying that Lee had been offered something like three times the salary he was given when he was a permanent manager back in September. He'd gone up six times the amount when he was first brought on as assistant manager in 2017. But he said Lee wanted more. So the insinuation there...
Do you believe that, Paul?
No, because I think Lee really loves the club. I can understand that Lee's in a very good position because obviously he's done so much for Charlton. And obviously another thing that Roland was upset about was that Lee had brought in an agent for the negotiations.
Which is adults in football do, by the way.
Yeah, indeed. But maybe Lee was face-to-face beforehand and then all of a sudden he brought the agent in, at the last minute. And as I say, Lee probably knows what, established championship managers are on. And we as fans certainly think he's worth it. And Roland has got to push the boat out. I mean, it's ironical, really, because Roland, all this time, he's been trying to sell the club. And he's always wanted an extraordinary amount of money. So he should really know where Lee is coming from.
But it's also going to be, even just selfishly, it's going to be easier for him to sell the club if there's a top manager in charge.
Exactly. And I think what happened this morning when I woke up and I saw the complete turnaround, you do wonder if someone got into Roland's ear last night, because it kind of backfired on him. I mean, the reaction from the fans was just incredible all over Twitter. That there was anarchy in the air, and as you say, surely when you're trying to sell the club to prospective buyers, to have Lee in situ is a big saleable plus.
Yeah, surely it absolutely has to be, Paul. I'm just amused by this on so many different levels, because one thing that we were hearing was that Bowyer wasn't willing to sign a one-year deal. He allegedly wanted three. Well, he's ended up signing a one-year deal after all, which I think is great in the short term, because hopefully he signs another one. We got him tied down. We can all calm down a little bit. Is there a question now of how this impacts the rest of your transfer activity?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's developing all the time. Just heard this evening that, unfortunately, there's one going out. Patrick Bauer has said his goodbyes to the fans.
After that glorious winner?
Yeah, but what a way to go out. And there's no hard feelings with the Charlton fans. Obviously, I think it's someone like Preston who have come in for him. And we can't compete at that level with the wages that are being offered by some of these championship clubs. But the main thing is, Johnny, is that today we've got Lee back as such. And, they are so clever, that management team, at putting a side together. So I haven't got any concerns. I mentioned to you on the show last Thursday, even if Joe Aribo goes, I'm confident that Lee and the boys can put a side together that will, at the very least, keep us surviving in the championship next season.
Do you think Joe Aribo is going, Paul?
Well, that is interesting. I was pretty convinced up until about half an hour ago. But with Bauer going, there might be a little chink of light there that Aribo might be tempted to stay. And also, you don't know what's going on in the background. Maybe Aribo might be hoping that he could get the money he wants when the new owners come in. So there's all sorts of things to consider here. And I, as I said to you before, if you're comparing playing in the Championship against the Scottish League, I feel it'd be worth him staying in the Championship. But I understand your point of view you made on the show about working with Steven Gerrard. But to me, Lee Bowyer is just as good, but I would be biased there.
Yeah, I think with Gerrard, it's not the point of him being a good coach so much as being Steven Gerrard, which, all respect to Lee Bowyer, he's not Steven Gerrard. Very few people are Steven Gerrard. In terms of potential acquisitions, are there any names that you're hearing links with who you're excited by?
Yes, absolutely. So we got the young lad in yesterday, Macaulay Bond from Leighton Orient. So he's the first in through the door. So quite excited about him because he's scored a bucket full of goals, albeit in the National League. But he's a typical player which we can bring in. He's very raw and Lee will get hold of him, and certainly a player to develop there. But the ones I'm also hearing tonight is from Arsenal, maybe a couple of loan players.
Eddie Nketiah.
Exactly. And I had a little chuckle to myself because he's born in my neck of the woods down in Lewisham in southeast London. And I think he was discovered by a team called the Hilly Fielders. Hilly Fields was my local park when I was a boy. And that helped me get an English O-level. I wrote an essay on Hilly Fields. But
are you signing for Charlton on loan, Paul?
Well, I think I'm always open to offers. You know, Roland has got to push a very hard bargain if he wants me.
Would you hold on for a three-year deal?
Definitely, yes. No less than three. And then, of course, the other guy we're looking at, possibly from Arsenal on a loan, is a young chap. Is it Xavier Amechi or something
Amechi,
like that?
Amechi. I would be surprised if you got him. He is. Okay. I mean, and Nketiah is rated, but Amechi is rated by the youth coaches at Arsenal to a whole different extent. My worry with Nketiah, well, it's not a worry, but it says interesting things about Arsenal's approach as well, because at the moment, and it is England 1, France 1, I'm afraid, in the European Under-21 Championships. The thing about Nketiah for Arsenal at the moment is he is Arsenal's third best striker, which is a bizarre sentence. Right. He hasn't started very much. He scored a couple of goals in the League Cup against Norwich, but that's basically it. After the exit of Welbeck, he is number three. And there is a belief amongst the Arsenal fan base that Emery could go two up top next season. Well, if you're playing two up top, your third striker is very important. That's not to say that Charlton won't get Nketiah on loan, but if they do, perhaps you've just created a transfer rumour of your very own, Paul, because Arsenal are going to need to sign a striker. I think we've lost Paul. I think we've lost Paul Sullivan there, but lovely to speak to you, Paul, if you can hear me. Paul Sullivan there of the SE7 pod and the Charlton Fan Show. Wonderful stuff, as ever. If you'd like to hear more from Paul, if you'd like to hear that furious reaction to the whole situation with Lee Bowyer and Roland de Châtelet, tune in right here on Love Sport Radio. You'll be with me, Paul, the rest of the SE7 pod, 9 till 10. It's going to be a lively one.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and it is time to turn our attentions to Fulham. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Cameron Ramsey of Fulhamish Podcast and, of course, Fulham Fan Show fame. Good evening, Cameron. Thanks for joining me. First up, Sessegnon. Is he going?
Well, at the moment, he's currently in Italy with the under-21s.
So he is. He's just conceded a goal, quickly. The idiot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's sport day. He's stalled on a contract extension or he's rebuffed one from the club. So his future is pretty up in the air at the moment. Nothing solid's really come out to suggest that he's going to be leaving or staying otherwise. But if he was to leave, we speak about it all the time. I mean, it would be a savvy, shrewd move for the club to try and seek a loan back clause. I know that a figure of about 35 million has been, you know, it's been fluttered around recently in various reports. So it remains to be seen. Yeah, I mean, he's probably concentrated on, you know, his time away with the young Lions, but we'll see when he gets back.
I think he could be off, but for you, out of 10, how likely are you to lose him this summer?
If a substantial bid was to come in and it worked well for his career and he was reassured that he was going to get necessary game time, you know, most likely in the Premier League, then I'd say most likely 9 out of 10, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, it's pretty conclusive if he has a better offer to play top flight football. But nothing solid has been tabled just yet. So we'd just have to wait and see on that, Johnny.
Well, he's not the only player who could be off. We're hearing a lot about Jean-Michel Seri today. Could he be off to Italy? Is he staying in London? And will he be staying with Fulham?
See, that's a strange one. I mean, he's always been, highly regarded as a top prospect in Italy, even though he's never really played. He's never played there at all. I know Inter are after him and Napoli are as well. But then I've seen, you know, quite strange reports that Crystal Palace are also tailing his services too. So, you know, a player like Seri, he had such a high regard when he came to Fulham, and his passing stats at OGC Nice, they would dictate that he deserves to play at a higher level of football. And, as a Fulham fan, knowing exactly what he's capable of, it'd be a shame to see him go, but I don't think he's got the mettle to compete in the Championship, so good luck to him.
You think he's not got the metal? I mean, if you've got ability of a certain level, are you not just going to light that division up?
Not necessarily. I think you need a bit of a brawn to compete in the championship, and I didn't see enough of that from Jean-Michel Seri last season, and even in the Premier League. You know, you need to have a real, you know, different bit of industry about you. You just need a bit of core strength and desire. And, you know, last season especially, we saw him fade out of games where he really could have set out and dictated proceedings. But, you know, in a slower paced environment such as Serie A, I see him doing very well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him head off there for a cut price of about 15 million or so. We'll just wait to see on that one as well.
Where does he rank in terms of Fulham's flops over the years? Oh, England, England, oh. England, England. Cameron, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but 60 million, 60 million. Aaron Wan-Bissaka has just roofed the ball into his own net. It's the 94th minute of five added minutes in England versus France in the European Under-21 Championships. And I hate to say this phrase, guys, but the Three Lions have bottled it. Terrible defending from a corner for the 10 men of England. There's no real danger. It's back-heeled. It's rolling towards the goal. But the keeper's got it covered. And Wan-Bissaka, the supposedly elite-level fullback on his way, if rumours are to be believed, to Manchester United, loses his head, just smacks it in his own net, just gives it a good old-fashioned whack. Cam, frustrating.
Yeah, I've just seen him flick that into our own net, and Henderson had it covered, so I don't know what he was listening to, because you would have thought there'd be some huge screams from the keeper there. But that seems to be typical England at the moment, regardless of what level the game's being played.
Interesting to see whether this affects the transfer rumour mill, whether a United scout in the crowd goes, hang on a minute, what's he doing? We can't sign him. I suspect they don't make their judgments in quite such a snap decision style. I'm going to do you a deal, Cam. Okay, I'm going to frustrate you with one more rumour about a player leaving the club, and then we're going to talk about a potentially exciting signing. Okay, so we'll get the frustrating stuff out the way. Mitrovic, I know you want to keep him. AS are reporting that he could be off to Real Betis. Have you heard about this one?
I've heard about that link, yep. It's something which is, you know, fairly feasible as well. But it's, you know, there's also contrasting reports that he's allegedly come out and pledged one more season to the club to try and gain promotion.
What a man!
That would be.
Do you believe that?
In a way, I do, because I think he needs a very strong season, and the Championship is no way a walk in the park. You know, you've got to have once again an edge about you to really, you know, flourish and just be the best player you possibly can do in that environment. And one strong season with Fulham, you know, if we gain promotion or we just have a very strong year, you know, running the line for us, then he could get a bigger move next summer. After the season he had with us in the Premier League, you know, it wasn't a dire straits kind of season for him at all, but one more year just to really prove his calibre in a division which is, you know, fairly well regarded. I don't see that as a bad thing for his career at all. But Real Betis, you know, a club which is, in terms of La Liga standards, it's not necessarily the most set the world alight kind of club.
No, very true.
You know, I believe he can play at a higher level than Real Betis if he was to leave. But then again, you know, he could well stay at Fulham and languish in the Championship for all we know. So
don't say languish. He could stay at Fulham and have a great time.
Well, that's also the adverse spin on things as well. So once again, we'll just have to see if that one comes to any fruition. But I'd love him to stay, and it'll be one hell of a savvy move if he does opt to stay put in SW6.
We can only hope he does stick around. England have lost. France 2, England 1. I'm not dwelling on that for a second. Goals in the 89th minute and the 95th minute. Talk about bottling it. Lord above. Right, so our positive move. Fulham are apparently in for Sporting Lisbon winger Jovan Cabral. This is according to Portuguese paper Record. I'm not going to try and do that in a Portuguese voice. We're hearing about a loan move with a potential 10 million option to buy. Exciting?
Yeah, fairly exciting. I mean, what we know about Cabral, obviously he's 21 years of age. He exploded onto the senior scene last season with Sporting CP. And he's one with searing escapades. He likes to commit his direct opponent, And although most of his appearances came from the bench, he scored 4 goals and registered 8 assists in 31.
That's not bad, is it?
It's a good return for somebody which is relatively unknown.
Is there a worry, though, Cam, that if you bring him in on loan and that potential buy clause isn't exclusive, that he just gets poached by another club?
Well, that's always a danger, and that's something that we're going to have to seek in any deal if it's proposed and if we are to go ahead with it. I mean, in inverted commas, he's come out and said it's an exciting prospect to potentially play for Fulham. I don't really know what he's expecting from it next season, but it's going to be a real hard slog if he's going to walk into our squad and expect to play, you know, first team football. But you know, it could do wonders for his career, even if he just comes for one season. You know, it's a great platform for him to really prove his calibre and his class at such a young age.
Absolutely.
And I think it'd be positive going on his record that he had with Sporting last season. Yeah. So why not?
Great signing for both. Cam, thank you for your time. Cam Ramsey there of Fulhamish and the Fulham Fan Show. England have bottled it, but we've solved it. We've solved the transfers, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.